You are listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system. On RadioAryan.com.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, to the Rope Report, Billy's Balkanization Podcast. As always, each week, right here on RadioAryan.com, I am your host for the Rope Report, Billy Roper, bringing you news and political commentary which you will not hear anywhere else but right here on Radio Aryan. This is the broadcast of the Rope Report for the first week of September, being recorded on Labor Day, to be released this coming Wednesday, live at 3 p.m. Central Time on RadioAryan.com, and then available for download through RadioAryan.com and also through the Billy Roper YouTube channel on the interwebs. We have a lot to talk about this week, so let's dive right in. First of all, the cleanup continues in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey as the flooding has wreaked havoc on southeastern Texas, particularly in and around Houston and going up to Corpus Christi. A lot of our fellow white men and women, brothers and sisters, have been made homeless. A few of them have lost their lives. Many of them have lost all the worldly possessions. And they're still trying to get back to their homes. Fortunately, the situation seems to be getting under control, but they have a lot of cleanup left to do. Now, African Americans and Hispanic Americans have established their own fundraising platforms to help their people, specifically. And white people now have done the same. So I want to encourage you to help out our fellow whites in the Houston, Texas area in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. As a matter of fact, I will be contributing half of my Amazon book sales royalties from August the 25th, the date that Harvey made landfall, until September the 25th, at the end of this month, through the fundraiser set up by our people for our people. That fundraiser can be found at fundraiser.com/rainytexas. And it's a little alternate spelling, so I'll spell it out for you. fundraiser.com/rainetexas. fundraiser.com/texas. It was established by two white sisters who are going to make sure that the funds are given strictly to our people, unlike giving to the Red Cross or the Salvation Army, where it's handed out randomly and probably, to be honest, prioritized for non-whites. So if you'd like to help white Texans, I encourage you to go to fundraiser.com/rainytexas, and you can email me, roper_billy@yahoo.com, to find that address once again if you do not have a chance to get your pen and paper and write it down just now. Also, this week, there's a lot of tension in the air. The geopolitical storms brewing about North Korea, and I was asked to speak about that situation. We had several emails and some Facebook commentary from people asking me questions to discuss today in the broadcast, but North Korea has to come first because it is on the top of everyone's agenda, being looming so large on our radars, with North Korea having just tested their sixth hydrogen bomb. It's basically a primitive device by our standards, but the fact that this impoverished, technologically backwards country on starvation rations could make one, considering the amount of plutonium and deuterium that you have to get. The engineering is what's hard, not the schematics, not the actual technology, or even the theory of it. That's 70 years old. But the actual technology of engineering a nuclear bomb is quite progressed, quite advanced. I'm sure they had some help. But by starving their own people, they have the resources together to build one. Now, the question is, can they successfully put it on a missile? And then can they put it on an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, that could reach us? It certainly could be used against their neighbors to the south, South Korea, but I don't think that they would. Why? Because you have to understand that the North Koreans and the South Koreans are the same people, the same ethnicity. And while they did end up on opposite sides of what was basically a civil war, with the northern half of the country being conquered by communism, supported by the Soviet Union and more so by China in the 1950s, and the southern half being propped up by the United States and our allies at that same time, they are still genetically and ethically the same people. And even regionally, there's not much of a difference between North and South Koreans because they got mixed up so much during the fighting up and down that peninsula as the Korean conflict waged. And so the communists in the North, led by China, would push American and allied forces all the way down to Busan, almost pushing us into the ocean, and then we would send in reinforcements and fight our way back north, and neither of us could really conquer the other. We would push them almost back into China, then the Chinese would send in more troops, and our Air Force was literally fighting Chinese Air Force squadrons, and many barbaric battles happened, for example, in Chosin Reservoir, were directly against Chinese regular troops. So China's been propping up North Korea ever since, as a vassal state, as a client state.
What am I to do when 24 million people look to me as their leader, their god? What am I to do when my father's dying wish was for me to carry his torch? For decades, you've heard the false rumors. North Korea is a failed state. We can't feed our people. Yeah. It's all propaganda.
I see.
They call me incompetent. How dare they?
Whatever they say about you, they're wrong.
We can confirm that North Korea engaged in this attack.
How had I managed to keep my country so well nourished despite the harsh and unjust economic sanctions imposed on North Korea by the United States?
If a billion people across the earth and in my own country must be burned to prove it, then my worthiness as a king will be demonstrated!
I want to set the record straight.
China and Russia have both indicated that they're not going to take North Korea's part if we do a preemptive strike against them. So, A, the North Koreans are almost certainly not going to use a nuclear weapon against South Korea because they want to conquer it. They want to take it in one piece. It's too small of an area for you to nuke and then live in, really. They want the industry. They want the agriculture, and they want the population, which is twice their own, of South Korea, as they want to unify the whole peninsula as one Korean country again. And they're not alone. The South Koreans also would like to reunify all of North and South Korea together into one Korean country, and they'd have to work out exactly how that new government was formed. And, of course, like West and East Germany, when they reunited, in my lifetime, as I remember when I was a teenager, watching that happen, East Germany was comparatively much more impoverished than West Germany, and West Germany had to rebuild a lot of the infrastructure of East Germany, which had been communist and occupied by Soviet and communist East German forces for so long, for a generation or two. North Korea and South Korea would be even more of a task because North Korea is even more backwards and more primitive compared to South Korea than East Germany was compared to West Germany back in the 90s. So they're not going to bomb South Korea. Even if they did, they would still lose because South Korea, backed up by the United States and our allies, would still defeat them. And if we had to, we would go nuclear. We'd use tactical nuclear weapons, which is kind of what Trump is already insinuating or threatening with the saber rattling, saying that we would visit a fire upon them that the world had never seen, implying that not necessarily particle beam weapons or Star Wars technology, but that we would use tactical nuclear weapons against North Korea. Now, that could be an option that the military establishment has already on the table. They might have already calculated those algorithms, and it might have already proceeded past a point of no return where it's going to happen that way. There might be no diplomatic solution to this issue, especially since Russia and China have now said they will not intervene on behalf of North Korea if North Korea continues to antagonize and threaten Guam or potentially threaten our 100,000 soldiers in South Korea. And North Korea apparently is still working under the idea that they can threaten and saber rattle and that we will give them funds to feed their population and maybe even fulfill our promise that we made to build a couple of nuclear reactors to help get their electrical grid back up, and then they can de-escalate. I'm not sure that they can this time. It may very well be that there will be some kind of action against North Korea. I don't anticipate it will be boots on the ground. I don't think it will be an invasion. I anticipate that probably it will be a asymmetrical strike where our technology and its advantage is used against North Korea without any American soldiers being directly involved. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, believe it or not. If you don't believe me, just ask my wife. But I anticipate that probably it will be a heavy conventional or a light tactical nuclear strike if we do anything at all against North Korea. I know that that's really what everyone is talking about on all the right-wing radio shows and on InfoWars. Alex Jones is talking about it. And there are a lot of conspiracy theories about how much of it is real and how much of it might be a false flag operation to distract people and to unify the country, since apparently Harvey did not do the trick. You know, Trump said that soon, very soon, all Americans would be united once again. And Hurricane Harvey hit. And there was some effort by the controlled media to show, you know, a white guy wading through water carrying a Hispanic woman with a baby and, you know, blacks and whites holding hands and singing Kumbaya together in church services. But the reality on the ground was that white people generally helped everybody. Black people started looting and shooting at the people who were trying to rescue others. And that narrative got out, despite the controlled media trying to sequester it, because of the social media platforms, which were not able to censor all of us and shut us up. So we know that there were blacks looting and shooting at the rescuers in the Hurricane Harvey affected flood region. We know that white people, even flying Confederate flags, are rescuing everybody. And these stupid, hick, white trash rednecks, as the controlled media and the left and the coastlands like to call white Southerners, were actually being very noble and very courageous and very chivalrous, showed themselves to be above it all. So the unifying effect the thought that Harvey might have has really been negated by the actions of the looters and by these non-white organizations that are actually trying to funnel all of the aid specifically to their people. And so we can only indulge in identity politics as well and respond in kind by establishing, for example, fundraiser.com/rainytexas to make sure that we help our own people. Since Harvey was not able to unite the country, what is the best way to unite a divided country? Well, with an external enemy, with an outside war, perhaps one like North Korea. Let me just say, in closing, that I am strongly anti-communist. I also am strongly white nationalist. All of my listeners know that to be the case. However, little Kim over there in Pyongyang has never called me white trash. He's never brought millions of dirty Mexicans into my country. He's never tried to, with his control of the media, make my people a minority in the nation that our ancestors established. Lil' Kim has never tried to foment white genocide against my race.
Why is everyone so fucking stupid? Why aren't more people intelligent like me?
I'm so lonely, so lonely, so lonely and sad, real alone. There's no one, just me only, sitting on my little throne. I work really hard and make up great plans, but nobody listens, no one understands. Seems like no one takes me seriously, and so I'm lonely. A little lonely. Poor little me. There's nobody I can relate to. Feel like a bird in a cage. It's kind of scary, but not really, because it's filling my body with rage. I'm the smartest, most clever, most physically fit, but nobody else seems to realize it. When I change the world, maybe they'll notice me. And until then, I'll just be lonely. Yeah, riddle lonely. Poor riddle me.
So why would I be cheering, and who would I be cheering for if he got wiped off the face of the earth? Why is he necessarily my enemy? That having been said, we'll find out in the next week or so if anything really happens with North Korea, or if it's de-escalated and ratcheted down once again. Speaking of anniversaries from the 1950s, today is roughly the 60th anniversary of the forced racial integration of Little Rock Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, by the 101st Airborne. What happened was the Supreme Court, in the Brown versus Board of Education ruling, said that it was unconstitutional for blacks and whites to have separate, even if they were equal, school districts. Of course, that was completely antithetical to the founding principles and ideals of the United States, and our founding fathers would have dragged those tyrants in black robes out of the Supreme Court building and had them publicly shot. In the 1957 ruling, the NAACP, which is a racist organization of blacks founded by Jews to use as a weapon against whites, began registering black students in white high schools across the South. And in Arkansas, they chose Little Rock Central High School, and the NAACP is a political stunt to agitate and to provoke a reaction, registered 9 black students to attend Little Rock Central. The white community rose up in anger and defiance. Arkansas's governor, recognizing that the overwhelming majority of Arkansas citizens supported segregation, opposed integration, and would support him in standing against the federal dictate, called out the Arkansas State Police and the Arkansas National Guard to prevent the forcible racial integration of Little Rock Central High School. And then President Dwight Eisenhower, remember the anti-German, anti-white general from World War II, who 10 years previous had murdered, purposefully starved to death, millions of German prisoners of war after they had been disarmed, put into concentration camps. He sent the 101st Airborne Division, 1,000 federal troops, to Little Rock, who at bayonet point arrested 24 white citizens and put their knives to the throat of white school children and forced them to march into black classrooms. They've been doing the same thing ever since. And now millions of dollars every year is still spent here in Arkansas of our taxpayer dollars to try to forcibly integrate racially divided neighborhoods by busing white kids all across town for hours to go to majority black areas to school, and by busing black thugs into white neighborhoods to go to school. And it's a huge federally dictated bureaucracy that the taxpayers of Arkansas still have to pay for 60 years later. Now, there's a little museum. If you go to Central High School, I've held a protest there. I've taken the tour. And Central High School is now one of the most dangerous, unsafe, undisciplined high schools in the state. The whole neighborhood, in fact, around Central High School, which is really just one interstate overpass and a few blocks away from the state capitol, is third world, ghetto, where white people, most white people, know better than to go after dark. On the state capitol grounds there, there's a monstrous, ugly, hideous statue of the Little Rock Nine, those nine monkeys that they forcibly integrated into the high school. And I was doing research on an article that I wrote about the 60th anniversary of the forcible racial integration of Little Rock Central High School this morning, which has now been published, actually, on the Rope Report site, either at theropereportsite.wordpress.com or theropereport.whitenationalist.net under the title 60 Years Later, Central High Remembered. You can find it there and read the entire text. But as I was doing the research for this article, I found out a couple of interesting things. One of the most fascinating for me personally, because in this article I was talking about my experience as a public school teacher in a racially integrated public school here in Arkansas, as well as my observation as a taxpayer and citizen of the state, I was looking at the opposition to this forced racial integration. And I'd always known that my father was Klansman and my both grandfathers were Klansmen too. And I knew, because I had heard my dad talk about it, even though my grandfather, his dad, died before I was born, I'd heard my dad talk about how my grandfather had opposed the Little Rock Central High forced integration and had gone to the state capitol to oppose it after the fact. I found a picture, which there's a hyperlink to on the article at the ropereportsite.wordpress.com, of a group of white guys standing at the state capitol in 1959 with signs that say race mixing is communism. They're obviously anti-integrationist. And one of them in the front row on the left side, wearing his hat and holding a microphone, is my grandpa. So it's interesting to me because, you know, over 50 years later, I've stood in the same spot holding protests and rallies at the state capitol, and I'll continue to, just like he did. So we're standing up for the same values that our ancestors stood up and fought for.
Come on, you son of freedom, and join our southern band. We'll find those carpetbaggers and drive them from our land. Our justice is our motto and providence our guide. So jump into the wagon and we'll all take a ride. So wait for the wagon, the segregation wagon. States' rights is the wagon, so let's all take a ride. Segregation is our watchword, states' rights we demand. To defend our southern way of life, we pledge our hearts and hands. Step forward and be counted, then fall in side by side. Conservatives throughout the land will join us on the ride. So wait for the wagon, the segregation wagon. States' rights is the wagon, so let's all take a ride. A sorry looking bunch of trash came marching to the south. The only thing they'll understand is when we drive them out. Our way of life we must protect, it's up to me and you. So rally round the stars and bars, we'll see this battle through. So wait for the wagon, the segregation wagon. States' rights is the wagon, so let's all take a ride. We've always lived a quiet life and mind our business too. We'll permit no agitators to tell us what to do. Let's serve them notice here and now, we must be left alone. Let's pledge our lives and fortunes in protection of our homes. So wait for the wagon, the segregation wagon. States' rights is the wagon, so let's all take a ride. Here, wait for the wagon, the segregation wagon. States' rights is the wagon, so let's all take a ride. Get aboard and ride this wagon, that segregation wagon. We're proud of what we believe in.
And I know that he could not have envisioned things would turn out this way, things would go this far down the slippery slope. But I also know that he'd be proud of me for continuing to stand up for what is right and continues to fight for it. And like me, he would see that eventually we're going to win this thing. We definitely are. There are going to be some bumps in the road along the way. We're going to be deplatformed. We're going to be censored. We're going to try to be intimidated. Not going to work for those of us who are the wheat, not the chaff, the men, and not the boys. But our white ancestors did not just let this happen without standing up and trying to fight it. Over and over again, we have beaten this enemy. This time, we're just going to have to make sure that we finish the job. So, as you look at what's happening in Texas with Harvey and North Korea with Lil' Kim, remember that Trump did say that he's going to try to unify the country. And if the flooding and the hurricane couldn't do it, then maybe a war, even a nuclear war, could. It definitely will cause some conservatives to start waving the flag as they're chasing Lil' Kim. And think about what happened with Saddam Hussein, another bad guy, right? Supposedly had weapons of mass destruction. And we went to war against him. And we invaded his country, not once, but twice. And, of course, he ended up getting executed, getting killed. Were there any weapons of mass destruction? No, there were not. Did Iraq have anything to do with 9/11? No, not a bit. As a matter of fact, they were enemies of the people from Saudi Arabia who did, if you don't support the idea that it was a Mossad and Israel operation with the collusion of rogue elements of the U.S. government. But playing it straight, following the mainstream narrative, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, but still they were blamed for it. And then, of course, we were told about the weapons of mass destruction over and over again. And so we went to war against Iraq. And now we're 16 years still at war with Afghanistan, and Trump is sending more troops there now. Why are we invading Afghanistan? The Russians couldn't do it. The British couldn't do it. There's nothing in Afghanistan that we should be fighting and dying for. Now, there are a lot of poppies that people could get opium from, and also that the big drug manufacturers can use. Anybody heard about the opium addiction here in the U.S.? Oxycodone, yeah. So that's a big issue. Lots of money involved. North Korea is a powder keg, and we could end up going to war there. It could be used as a tool to unite the country, but right now, people are rebroadcasting the Team America cartoon, and they're rebroadcasting the most recent version of Red Dawn, where the enemies are North Koreans that actually invade North America, as if that would be possible. Let me tell you something, folks. I will put my money on it. I will put my word of honor on it that the idea technologically of North Korea being able to hit the continental United States with an ICBM that has a nuclear warhead on it is next to Kim Possible. Yeah, I went there. Kim Possible. The idea that North Korea, as depicted in the Red Dawn movie, would be able to physically invade the United States of America with paratroopers and thousands of soldiers is next to Kim Possible. So why are we chasing the Kim Possible? Why are we chasing Lil' Kim? Well, because Trump is trying to create a diversion, a distraction, and to give us an external enemy because Hurricane Harvey just could not do the trick. People saw, like I did, the YouTube videos of the monkeys looting. They're taking their big screen TVs out of the markets that they're breaking open, and obviously their essential survival supplies they're stealing, right? And it went viral all over the internet. They heard about the looters shooting at the rescue boats that were trying to save people's lives, you know? And I was talking about that this last weekend as I went up to Harrison to meet with about a half dozen or so new people and a few people that I'd already met before who were in town for the Knights Party Congress in Harrison this last weekend. We were talking about the men behind the curtain that are distracting us from what is really important, which is standing up for our race united as one team, and how so many times those leaders of our team have gotten co-opted and led us off down rabbit hole trails that have no victory and no end in sight, purposefully. So you get people who are Putinist, who are Duganist, neo-Bolsheviks on one side, and people who are just slightly to the right of Che Guevara on the other, who are trying to co-opt the white nationalist movement. And that leads me to another question that I was asked, and it was requested that I answer, about whether I think the end result, the outcome of Charlottesville, the Battle of Charlottesville, was a net positive or a net negative. Now, I've talked about this a little bit before in earlier broadcasts since then, but I want to reiterate for the listener who was kind enough to ask me to. It depends on your perspective, obviously. If you're Chris Cantwell and you're locked in jail without the benefit of a Puerto Rican girl, then probably Charlottesville was a net negative, right? If you're Jason Kessler on suicide watch again because your black roommate doesn't want to hang out with you, then it's probably a net negative, you know? If you're selling a lot of books, it might be a net positive. If you are one of those alt-right organizations that are now at each other's throats over which is most corrupt or which has the most number of non-white members or whether to support Cantwell and Kessler, then it's maybe a little bit mixed bag, maybe a little bit of both. And obviously, if you're one of those patriotic, courageous white men who fought bravely in Charlottesville, but then came home to find yourself doxxed and lost your jobs, your families, your girlfriends or wives, had your whole life turned upside down, then it's probably a net negative. But as we've talked about before on this program, the Roper Report will not lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, even if it hurts, even if you don't like hearing it.
Deutschland!
The white nationalist movement, the alt-right, is kind of like a bad puppy dog that's peed all over the rug. And, you know, Charlottesville was like that rolled-up newspaper giving us some spats on the rear end, straightening us out. Because it will, the doxing, the deplatforming, the censorship, it will separate the men from the boys. It will separate the wheat from the chaff and bring us closer to a situation like they have in Europe, in Germany, where if you march in rhythm, you go to jail. If you raise your arm at a politically incorrect angle, you go to jail. And if you say half the things I say before my first cup of coffee, you go to jail. And still, they have skinhead concerts in Germany today where 5,000 people show up and zero flips are given. They don't care, because they feel they have nothing left to lose. And that's why I use my own name, and that's why I'm out public on the front lines, and everyone who knows me knows who and what I am. Because there's nothing in my life more important than our cause and our people. There's nothing that I would not give up, including my life, for our cause and for our people. So we have to understand that our enemies want us to be extinct. Once again, like I've told you before on the Roper Report, our enemies won't our grandsons to be homosexuals. They want our granddaughters to marry niggers. They want us to all be extinct, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a game. It's not something to be LARPing about or cosplaying. It's not anything for hobbyists. They need to go back to playing World of Warcraft. It's time to separate the men from the boys and for the hobbyists to quit and go home, and that will make our entire movement stronger. I wrote yesterday on the Rope Report website about Labor Day and how in the 1920s and 1930s, Dr. Goebbels, brilliant man that he was, had an idea that he expressed in his book, The Nazi Sozi, because we invented the term Nazi, not the communist, regardless of what some people unfortunately believe. The Nazi Sozi talked about how he wanted to recruit former communists, especially from Berlin, to become NSDAP members, to become Nazis. And so a lot of them did because they found that it was easier to make people do a 180 who are already politically activated and ideologically driven. To turn a communist into a Nazi was easier than making a lemming, making a sheep into a politically active person, because most people are cannon fodder. They don't care about politics. They don't care about history. They don't care about their culture or their identity. All they care about is what game's on TV and what beer's in the fridge. They're not ever going to take a side until the bandwagon effect pushes them onto whatever side is winning. Right now, they're happy to just blindly do what our enemies tell them to do. Once we're in charge, they'll just as happily do whatever we tell them to do. They're what the Germans called Lumpenvolk. What the Germans called the communists who converted and became Nazis because they were already politicized and ideologically driven and liked to fight in the streets and didn't care what side they're fighting for or against. They called those guys beefsteaks because they turned into brown shirts. They're brown on the outside, but they're still pink on the inside. Beefsteaks. The way they dealt with those guys was eventually the Night of the Long Knives. They put them up against a wall. And while I'd be happy to be that guy, to go there, and to put race mixers and Jew enablers and gay promoters up against a wall someday, it's easier, less demoralizing, just to not let them in to begin with. To not let them impurity spiral and corrupt us from the beginning, from the get-go. That way, we don't have to make a mess. It has to be power washed away someday. So I was writing about that on the Rope Report site for Labor Day. You can read it and go into detail about the history of the movement. But what I ultimately came to as a conclusion was that we need to be purity spiralers in our own ranks. And that was something that we also learned from Charlottesville as a hard lesson. And as these hobbyists, as these weak people, as these game players and cosplayers and LARPers and these LOLbergs get scared away, intimidated, because, oh my God, they might lose their Facebook. Somebody might find out what their name is. I understand, folks. You have to feed your family. You have to work. You have to pay your mortgage. There are a lot of people who cannot be public activists. They cannot have their name out there like I do. I'm not judging anybody. I'm not saying that everybody needs to be a front row, front lines activist. They don't. We need a lot more financiers than we do frontline, boots on the ground, street fighters. We need a lot more professionals, a lot more business people. We need more lawyers. We need more doctors. We need more business leaders, more professionals in the community who can become persons of influence in the community without being doxxed, without having their name known, without being called a Nazi, but who still share our values and will forward our cause for us. So we need the majority of our people to be those under the radar professionals and business leaders who are not on the front lines, but for those who don't have those kind of compulsions, for those who are able to work an entry-level job and support themselves, so if they lose it, it's not a big loss. For those who are able to look out for themselves but don't have, you know, wives and children depending on them putting food on the table for them. For those who are able to use their own names. For those who are able to stand up and speak up, then this is a great opportunity to embrace the docks and to show our enemies that we just don't care anymore. We will not be shut up. We won't sit down. We're not going to be intimidated. So if you're in that minority who don't have anything to lose or who can replace what is taken from you, then I encourage you to take Charlottesville as an opportunity to be white-pilled, standing up. A certain percentage of us are going to have to be on the front lines and do so. So in the main, because it is right now, as I talk to you, separating the men from the boys, getting rid of the hobbyist, making everyone more serious about this and more dedicated, and it's polarizing the country. It's polarizing the nation. It's dividing all of America into two camps, with the middle, the establishment, shrinking every day, smaller and smaller, so that everybody eventually is going to come down as either a Nazi or a commie, either Antifa or white nationalist, and very few in the middle trying to hold things together, doing the splits because they're bought into the status quo and they depend on the establishment to try to preserve what they have. But they're losing, folks. Everyone is going to the separate corner as America balkanizes, which is what this program and my mission is all about, the balkanization of America. Charlottesville, then, is a net positive because it has contributed greatly to the ongoing balkanization of America and, in the long run, I believe, the strengthening of the white nationalist movement by purging it of those who really never should have been in it to begin with. Now, that will lead to less sympathy for criminals, like those looters, who really should probably have a boot put on the back of their necks and be held under those sewage-filled floodwaters in Texas until air bubbles stop coming up. It will lead to less empathy and compassion for homosexuals prancing and flouncing down the street. It will lead to less tolerance of mixed-race couples walking through shopping centers smirking at you. It will lead to the end of everything that you despise and are disgusted by in Why America, just like the Weimar Republic. So if you are active on social media and you would like to get involved with people who are not going to run and hide when things get tough, then I encourage you to organize with us now, network with us now, so that we can get ready for what's coming. It's not going to get any easier from here on out. This is just the beginning, folks. This is the Boston Massacre. Charlottesville was a Boston Massacre. We're leading up to Lexington. Maybe a couple years down the road. Maybe next year. I don't know. Don't have a crystal ball. But it's coming. It's going to get worse from here on out. So you need to decide, time to cut, bait, or fish. If you're going to be lukewarm, God says he will spew you out of his mouth, be either hot or cold. Saddling up to the fence and straddling it is going to give you an awfully sore crotch.
Oy vey, oy vey, oy vey, oy vey.
Going to have to choose a team or have one chosen for you very soon. If you listen to this program, I've told you that before. Time grows shorter every day, and it's going to get harder before it gets easier. But in the end, we are promised the victory. Our race has seen harder times than this before. We have always won because we are Aryans. Think about it. We are Aryans. We are a race of conquerors. We're not victims. We're not trying to compete with some mud races over who's the biggest victim. We are conquerors. We are Aryans. We need to act like it. We need to own it. Yes, we genocide the Native Americans, those Stone Age savages who never invented a written alphabet. So what? Yeah, we put 6 million Jews in the oven, 6 trillion Jews in the oven, 6 quadzillion Jews, 6 gorillion Jews in the oven. Every day. All day. 24/7. Who's next? Own it. We are Aryans. That's who we are. We are conquerors. We were born to be. And we will be, once again, as soon as we wake up and remember who we are and remind our enemies who we are. Dr. Pierce would have ranted about the looters like I actually 12 years ago when they had the Hurricane Katrina, founded my Cartridges for Katrina program where I said that I'd reimburse the ammunition cost of any white guys who shot looters in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. We went down there and delivered lots of bottled water and lots of clothes and lots of food and helped establish a whites-only tent city in southern Mississippi. That was ancient history. But I said at that time that if Dr. Pierce, you know, could have seen that, then he would have given a very impassioned speech about taking a stout oak table leg and beating these looters until they sank beneath the flood. And that's maybe a better visual image than my idea of putting a boot on the back of their neck and drowning them in it. But either way would work. So yeah, if you're on social media, if you haven't been doxxed, if you haven't been expunged yet, if you're on Facebook, there are two separate Shield Wall Network groups. I'd be happy to, you can call yourself Betty, I don't care, but I'd be happy to help you network with like-minded white nationalists in your community so that you can begin to prepare for the eventual loss of the internet. So email me. Once again, that's Roper_Billy@yahoo.com if you are on Facebook and would like to connect with Shield Wall Network members and affiliates in your area. In real life, patriotic, grassroots community activism. Now, I did an interview this last week on the Race and Nation podcast with Stephen Lanzer and Lord Goyhammer. I had a great time with that. You can find that in the archives of RadioAryan.com. And I also had an opportunity to fill in with Sven Longshanks on the Daily Traditionalist radio show this last week. I had a great time discussing the floods in Texas and the fundraiser.com/RainyTexas white fundraising platform for our fellow whites there. And I really am honored by the opportunity to represent our white Texans on both of those programs. Thank everyone at Radio Aryan for the opportunity. I also had a French TV interview inquiry, which I kind of blew off, to be honest with you, because I was been so busy this last week that I haven't had a chance to respond yet directly to her. She wants to come out to do a documentary for some French television channel. I may answer eventually, depending on how my schedule is next week. But I want to remind you that things are going to be busy from here on out. The 23rd of September, here in Central Arkansas, is going to be the largest Shieldwall Network meeting ever. And you can email me right into P.O. Box 1937, Mountain View, Arkansas, 72560. If you're in Arkansas or within driving distance and you'd like to attend that meeting September the 23rd in Central Arkansas, I encourage you to. There'll be some guest speakers that will blow your mind away. There'll be raffles for fundraiser and an auction. We'll all be eating together in a private, secure location. It'll be a very relaxed atmosphere and family-friendly. So that's September the 23rd in Central Arkansas. And then, of course, September the 29th through October the 1st in Eastern Tennessee in the Knoxville area, I'll be attending the Stormfront Conference. You can come out to see myself and David Duke and Don Black and some other white nationalist leaders and spokesmen who will be there September the 29th through October the 1st in Eastern Tennessee. And you can register by writing to Don Black, and his email address is stormfront@bellsouth.net. stormfront@bellsouth.net. Or once again, you can email me, roper_billy@yahoo.com, for more information about how you can register for the Stormfront Conference coming up September the 29th through October the 1st in Eastern Tennessee. And you can go there and meet myself and Mrs. Roper and David Duke and Don Black and several dozen other white nationalist patriots and network with them in real life, as well as come away with a lot of new knowledge and understanding of the roots and the future of our pro-white white nationalist movement.
And stood straight ahead, for the weatherman said there's a Stormfront coming, moon in the white water running, the pressure is low. Stormfront coming, moon in the top, Stormcraft running on the radio.
Also, October the 7th, there will be a meet and greet and gathering in Eastern Arkansas. It's hosted by Shieldwall Network affiliate members there. And we invite you to get in touch with us in between now and then. If you're in Eastern Arkansas or in Tennessee or Mississippi, and would like to attend the October the 7th get-together. We have a lot going on, folks, and it's a lot to even pack into 1 hour. But I don't have time to do a daily program. That's how much we have our noses to the grindstone for you, for our people. And if you'd like to support our patriotic efforts to expand the Shieldwall Network and to carry this fight for white survival to our enemies, then you can help out and join the sponsors of this program. Who are the sponsors of this program? Well, in addition to the letters 14 and 88 and the letters H and X, it's all solely up to listeners like yourself who can contribute through PayPal to roper_billy@yahoo.com, or who would like to send a check or money order to me, Billy Roper, at P.O. Box 1937, Mountain View, Arkansas, 72560. I hate shilling for shekels. If you want something for your love offering, for your contribution, your gift, your donation, then you can go to Amazon.com and put in Billy Roper in the search title. I have 14 books published. You can get nonfiction or fiction, whichever you prefer. That will help out our outreach and the Shieldwall Network, and also 50% of all the book royalties gained in between now and September the 25th will go towards the White Texans in that flood relief platform I mentioned, fundraiser.com/rainytexas. And as a matter of fact, this last week, we personally took 4 large bags of handmade quilts and blankets that were produced by the Cover Our People With Love pro-white charity, as well as bags of good-used clothing and other supplies to take to a U-Haul full of help going down to Southeast Texas, being carried by a white family that was up here in Mountain View, where we live, in refuge from Harvey, and then we're going back down to the New Caney area, where I coordinated with Shinwall Network affiliates there to put them in touch. So we're helping directly. With your help, we'll help even more if you go to fundraiser.com/rainytexas. That's FUNDRAZR.com/RAINEY Texas. Or if you go to Amazon.com, type in Billy Roper and buy one of my books. You will enjoy it, guaranteed, or your money back. And 50% of all those royalties between now and September 25th will go to help fellow white Texans in the flood-ravaged areas. So I encourage you to join us in helping us help our people. This is an ongoing project of the Cover Our People with Love pro-white charity, just like the financial donation that we made last week that we passed on from our listeners to a local white family who lost everything in a house fire. You can find out more about what the Cover Our People with Love pro-white charity does every day by going to their website, coverourpeoplewithlove.wordpress.com. That's coverourpeoplewithlove.wordpress.com. So I encourage you to register for the Stormfront Conference in Eastern Tennessee, September 29th through October the 1st. If you're in Arkansas or a surrounding state, I really want to see you at the September the 23rd meeting. It's going to be the week before the Stormfront Conference here in Central Arkansas. And you can email me to get the details and register for it free of charge. And then that third weekend, also here in Arkansas, in Eastern Arkansas, there'll be a Shield Wall Network meeting and gathering October the 7th. So we have a lot on our plate. We have not forgotten the rest of the world, though. We're happy to be able to say that Brent Betterly, the Antifa who was at Charlottesville and who attacked a white military veteran, an elderly gentleman, split open his head with a bat in an unprovoked attack, has been identified and doxxed, primarily from his Isaiah tattoo. And so Brent Betterly, Betterly, is now going to be facing charges in that attack. He was also arrested in 2012 and did time for his attacks on whites at the NATO summit then, along with two other gentlemen. So Brent Betterly has been doxxed. He's been Brent Betterly busted. So thank you for those who listened to the Daily Traditionalist radio show that I did with Sven Longshanks, or those who listened to the Race and Nation show that I did this last week with Stephen Lanzer or Lord Goyhammer. I want to encourage you to continue to listen to both of those fine programs. And if they led you here to listen to the Roper Report, but I hope that you find it informational and interesting. Each week we have completely new topics, just like I do every day on both of the Roper Report websites, such as the roperreportsite.wordpress.com and the roperreport.whitenationalists.net. You can also go to the Shield Wall Network website. If you find out more there about the Shield Wall Network, that's at shieldwallnetwork.wordpress.com, shieldwallnetwork.wordpress.com, and read the What is the Shield Wall Network tab just below the Vikings with the shield. Once again, Charlottesville was a net positive because it's making us stronger. It's making us tougher. It's separating the men from the boys, and it's also giving us the opportunity to polarize and balkanize America even further than ever before. When can you hear the Roper Report? Every Wednesday, live at 3 p.m. Central Time on RadioArian.com. And after that, it can be downloaded from RadioArian.com and also heard on the Billy Roper YouTube channel, which you can subscribe to now. The best way to keep in contact and direct others for support was asked, and the best way to keep in contact is through in-real-life networking, face-to-face connections, knowing people, not on the internet, but because they are your trusted friends and allies within a tank of gas of you. Meeting them in person to build those connections and that level of trust now is possible through the Shield Wall Network, which I encourage you to coordinate with and to affiliate with before it's too late. Finally, North Korea may or may not see a conflict in this next week. I don't anticipate we'll have boots on the ground. I don't think that any American lives will be lost. I may be mistaken, but I don't think it's going to be quite as big a deal as it's being made out to be. That's primarily a distraction to take our minds off of, or to attempt to take our minds off of and our eyes off of, the ongoing breakup of the United States of America, which will lead to this ethnic conflict, this civil war that is coming inevitably, and then that will result in a new white ethnostate, or possibly three or four, one of which, if you stand up and fight now, will have a home for you. Until next week, this is Billy Roper for The Roper Report, Billy's Balkanization podcast, right here on Radio Area, and reminding you, as always, to think racially, act locally, but no matter what, keep it white.
Can you hear the student band? I think they're getting out of hand. Will you know what happened to those who complain? We've got to stop them seeing light. Let them think it's all right. Cause the fireworks aren't to keep them entertained. Well, the wells have not run dry. Do we really need to lie? We'll say it's a national emergency. We'll set a wedding full of clowns, and we'll kick them while they're down. Give the banks control, cause they are friends to me. Let's go and find a better place. We'll call it New America. Won't it be a lovely place to be? Imperial material, the mind of New America.
You are listening to Radio Area for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioArea.com.